Welcome to the MHI Cast, the show where we talk to the industry's best minds to uncover their supply chain stories. We explore real-world case studies and get unique perspectives on key trends and emerging technologies from every corner of the material handling, logistics, and supply chain space. The always-on warehouse is something that's been talked about in the supply chain for many years now. Many supply chain professionals look to that as inspiration while building automation into their processes and designing for end-to-end connectivity. So, now that we're seeing more use cases for robotics and agentic AI, are we coming closer to a warehouse or distribution center that can truly operate autonomously? To discuss this topic, our guests today are Warren Owen, VP of Solution Consultants at Netstock, Carl Sanchek, COO of Carnegie Foundry, and Thomas Zurer, CEO and co-founder of SSY AI. Thanks everyone for being on the show. Let's start with Carl. Can you kind of paint the picture for us? What are the characteristics of an autonomous warehouse?
The best analogy would be if you were to go out in the data center world, they would call it a lights out data center, a place where you can go in and more or less the machines run autonomously and you're very, very efficient within your space. We're not there yet. That's our premise at Free Space Robotics. Our premise is that the warehouse needs to be made robotic, not just robotic systems. The entire warehouse needs to be robotic. Make it touchless, make it lights out. At the end of the day, then what's going to happen is you're going to have a very efficient logistics stream, and that's what we're trying to shoot for.
Okay. Thomas, do you think agentic AI has moved us closer to this? And if so, how?
AI agents taking over a role and task and can autonomously fulfill certain tasks within the warehouse. And that could help to become autonomous and fully dynamic real-time fulfillment centers. So nowadays we have access to real-time information, new sensor technology, and the other part to this story is also AI. We have tools now with the help of AI agents, which can process enormous amount of data, and that will help us, you know, to optimize warehouses and crunching all these data and providing, you know, support for decision making within warehouse environments. So in the warehouse environment, you see now a lot of AI and upcoming AI technologies, beginning from robots, advanced, you know, technologies, even up to drones, which can help, you know, with improving warehouses. And those are, I guess, the start of many new technologies within the warehouse. The new with AI is basically that AI can interpret a ton of data, pick data, and that will allow, you know, to make the best decisions out of those informations. And this is where AI can help, or even with complex tasks within the supply chain.
Can anyone give an example of decisions AI could make to improve throughput in an autonomously managed distribution center? Yes, Carl?
That's actually a super question. So order sequencing is an interesting challenge, right? You want to make sure that your goods come in, they're organized for distribution, they're organized in families of goods, all these types of things. And sometimes it's an assembly, if it's like a manufacturing plant, for example. The nice thing about AI and the rest is that you can look ahead and do predictive logistics. That type of predictive logistics is super critical to the value proposition, how you optimize your outcomes and your money and your capital expenses and your operating expenses.
So AI can not only coordinate various autonomous elements within the distribution center, but in an ideal situation, it can not only recommend changes to optimize your processes, but also actually implement them itself without human intervention. Carl, what do you see as a challenge to this?
Our observation as a company at Free Space Robotics is that the software has been outpacing the hardware, frankly. So as you look at the artificial intelligence solutions, there's a lot of work being done on forecasting and digital twins, things that help you understand your processes better and make them more efficient. But the reality is the hardware doesn't match, okay? So as we looked at it, we saw the whole process chain for order fulfillment and said, here's the challenge. You may be able to forecast properly. You may be able to organize your goods and what you're trying to do for your customer in terms of trending, but then your system doesn't support it. And you end up buying multiple solutions and more or less, I don't want to say kludge, but kludge is not inaccurate. You're taking a lot of point solutions and you're trying to concatenate them together, get that order fulfillment execution you really want, we would tell you the hardware needs to do multiple processes, multiple steps in one solution, because otherwise they have all their interoperability issues, they have all their maintenance issues, they have all their downtime issues. And this, instead of simplifying and improving the process, has made it harder. At its core, the presumptive is the artificial intelligence can adapt to the orders faster than real time, right? So in other words, they can make a look at and say, all right, based on the trends we're seeing, we need to adjust today's handling. There's a real opportunity there. But as I've mentioned in other parts of this segment, if you can't physically do it, you're never going to quite get there. I mean, you may have the intelligence, but you don't have the muscle, right? So we would suggest that there has to be a little bit more balance in the way the industry is moving forward, a little bit more investment in the actual mechanics, a little bit more simplicity.
What do you mean by more simplicity?
Let me give an example. All right, so there's a tendency to anthropomorphize robotics. So you want to see the human making a task, picking up a box, carrying from point A to point B, because you recognize that. The reality is that's probably not the most efficient practice. AI is not going to compensate. It might make that robot more stable. It may make the actions the robot takes, the ability to pick up different objects, more flexible. There's some real advantages on the adaptability that AI provides. But at the end of the day, that's maybe not the best way to deploy the simple task that you're trying to do, which is move an object from here to here.
Right, I get it. If your autonomous processes are inefficient to begin with, that isn't going to be a problem you can AI your way out of. Automated solutions have to work first, then they have to work together, and only then you can layer on AI decision making, right?
Physical technology needs to catch up. Yeah, that's been my point, right? At the end of the day, we are improving the basic steps. We're simplifying those steps. We're using automation the way it's intended to do, which is all about efficiency, all about value, all about labor reduction.
Okay, so far we've focused on agentic AI within the four walls. But how can it account for factors outside the distribution center? I'm hoping to hear from Warren on this one.
Okay, good question. So obviously NetStock has a whole bunch of AI machine learning algorithms that we use with a variety of customers and perfected it over a long period of time to identify a lot of seasonality. So I think the aim in having better AI engines is to really pick up more seasons within seasons, spikes and things like that happening. And we call it events, so really identifying events. And using a robust set of engines over time, you know, you might have customers that don't have a lot of seasonality, but having an engine that can do early warning or, you know, get those patterns identified earlier on will ultimately eliminate waste or at least reduce waste, because it just tells you, you know, what's going to happen in the future, how to buy, when to buy, what quantity.
What about sourcing and fulfillment strategies?
Okay, another very good question. So again, you know, NetStock obviously being in the business of taking both supply and demand and really on a day-to-day basis projecting what the future looks like either in 12 months or rolling 24 months. Now, to answer your question in that sense, what it ends up doing is as it gets more data every single day, sometimes multiple times a day, it reruns those models and it's identifying, you know, things like the current rate of sales, you know, what was the plan for this week? You know, did I plan to sell 100? Now I'm selling 200. Ultimately, that's going to result in the supply plan being recalculated. So really what we end up doing there is we take that data more frequently, and it will obviously over time get even more frequent, hopefully, you know, minutes and seconds, and that ultimately resolves the model to see if there's anything below the required line or above the required line.
What about when it comes to supply chain disruptions like factory shutdowns, geopolitical changes, or natural disasters?
Okay. The always a crisis in supply chain. So a little tariff thing popping up now. So again, you know, having a daily projection, again, understanding what each and every item, and often customers have hundreds and thousands of items, is again, looking at that projection, identifying what could run short. Now, what that means from a sourcing perspective is that NetStock has the ability to tell you by value, volume, weight, cubes, pounds, kilograms, what that plan looks like. So when you're faced with things like, I guess, you know, Chinese New Year used to always be the heartburn, but now there's more than that. You can actually have a picture far into the future, a couple of months at a time, or maybe in a couple of years, to try and understand what the total volume will be or the total weight will be. A lot of the NetStock customers now that I've certainly seen will take that information and start splitting orders. So it's not one preferred supplier, what I call lazy buying. I don't want to go find somebody else. I'll just stick to the supplier. I know they're not the best, but I can live with that. What a lot of customers are doing now is they're separating that by two orders, three orders, four orders, and nearshoring as well as ordering from China. So really giving the ability to resolve and have a new answer in seconds or minutes enables them to continuously change and be as agile as they possibly can. I mean, in terms of the long-term, balancing of networks, NetStock's also got an excess redistribution module that uses AI to continuously find opportunities within the business or the network to continuously balance things. So again, if there's a crisis, I might have something in my New York branch versus needing it in Washington. The two will ultimately say that there will be a delay from the supply side of things. So let's better use what we have and kind of, spread that across the network.
Okay, let's go back to geopolitical changes like tariffs. Could AI help businesses optimize procurement and inventory management in that kind of environment?
I like that one. So, with AI getting better and getting better and getting better, we are going to see more powerful engines that can consider more data points. I think that's the big thing that we're going to see a benefit from. I think, as everybody knows, forecasting demand is as old as the mountains. It's only been X amount of engines. I think with people building that, there's more things we can consider, like weather, we can consider Forex forecasting. They will truly and ultimately become a true regression model that has more things that it can solve in a very shorter period. So AI is definitely going to enable the business to think about the forecasting approach a little bit different than what did I do last year and what will I do next year internal to my world. It would be more externally focused as opposed to my only version of the truth.
I think very similar to what I said earlier in terms of just the capability of looking at more quicker, understanding and referencing things better, leading indicators external to the business. I will definitely start, identifying earlier patterns in seasonality and things like that. And surge buying, I don't know if you're familiar with the term surge buying, where a thing goes viral on TikTok and suddenly everybody buys that. Having the ability to identify the external drivers to that spike in demand is obviously where AI will get a lot better. It is scary, but both exciting at the same time, how all of those things could be considered together as opposed to individual models that are solved by a person that might one day think about that. The AI will definitely take care of that and start telling you there's something happening here. There's going to be a spike on this, be ready to ride that wave.
As usual, there are some operators that are eager to ride that wave and some that are not. Carl, what do you think are some of the key challenges that are holding people back?
That's an interesting question. I would say what holds back is there's a certain amount of readiness to adopt some new change, okay? You've got a critical function when you do logistics and supply chains, and there's a desire never to take a risk, because what you don't want to do is you don't want to have shutdown time, you don't want to have lost business opportunity, which makes a lot of sense, right? And you totally get it. That's a reasonable position to take. But on the flip side of the coin, you can't do more than incremental improvement. So we would tell you that you need to be able to take the opportunity to look at, can you deploy in test cases something that might be revolutionary, something that will actually substantively, not a few pennies, but dollars or more each transaction and chain. That's where you're going to start to see something. And I would say there's a wariness due to risk that it's really, there needs to be more of a balance. And that balance isn't there yet, is my observation. And that might be because there's been a lot of misfires. We looked at it and we noticed over the last several decades, there's a lot of systems that came out and they didn't meet the expectation, is probably the way to put it. So that means that there's going to be a reasonable reluctance to be the next first adopter of something that's new, right? But at the end of the day, you want substantive outcomes. You want substantive change. That does mean that there has to be a little bit of an availability to pilot, experiment, do a few things that might actually make the needle move.
What do you think, Thomas?
The common roadblocks is basically to take the first step. There's many people in leadership roles, they just, dive into the new opportunities of AI. And for me, AI is basically the new wheel. Young generations are already, very excited and intrigued by AI. You see in the marketplace that older generations are still not, ready to talk about latest and greatest.
Do you think that despite these roadblocks, we're close to a future with autonomous supply chains?
There's no fully autonomous AI, except on isolated situations. And humans are still quite important, maybe just for the fact to help AI for training AI engines, and basically giving the lead. And this is why we like to use the term assistive AI rather than AI and fully autonomous AI. The return on invest when we have projects, even, you know, in the area of months and weeks, certain tasks can be taken over right away. Agents are already trained for certain tasks and they can really, you know, accomplish return on investments within weeks or months. I think the opportunity is to be fully autonomous, as in the term, right? And being very high in efficiency, very clear and clean, transparent supply chains. This is what is ahead of us.
Does anyone else want to expand on this?
I think I'd like to do a shout out to the community. We're at a unique moment in time, right? Essentially, we have the artificial intelligence, we have intelligence systems that allow us to really look ahead and respond the way an end consumer or an end client really wants, which is speed. I want the fastest journey to my destination possible. And at the same time, hardware is finally coming down. The promise of automation is there. The combination means what we believe is the supply chain in the future is happening today. It's happening on the floor of this show at the ProMat. Shout out to the community for making this happen, and I appreciate to be my opportunity to be part of that.
Love it. Thanks for that, Carl. That's the perfect positive note to end on. Thank you, Thomas, Carl, and Warren, for joining us on this episode of the MHI Cast and sharing your insights on agentic AI and autonomous supply chain operations. And a big thank you to you, our audience, for tuning in today. At MHI, we never stop exploring new opportunities to help you take your manufacturing and supply chain operations to the next level of success. Thanks for making us part of your professional development journey.